Let us pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, may they be acceptable in thy sight, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. This morning's text is the 18th verse of the first chapter of James that was read in your hearing earlier. Hear these words. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us by the word of truth, gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. And the title of our message today is, Who Are You? Who are you? Well, if you have not guessed it already, today's sermon is all about identity. A show that's recently grabbed my attention is a TV show that's called All Rise. And it's a television show about a jurist named Lola Carmichael. And Carmichael was elevated to the rank of a judge. And she is one of those judges who believe strongly in fairness, compassion, and equality in the courtroom. Judge Carmichael one day receives a text message from her more senior colleague, Judge Lisa Benner. And in the text message, it says, Stairway 911. In other words, we need to have a meeting on the staircase in private ASAP. And when they get on the staircase, this is what Judge Benner says to Judge Carmichael. I understand the judge's chambers can feel a little snug at first, but you know there is the judge's lounge. To which Judge Carmichael replies, I'm just trying to ease my way in. A little too much golf talk for me. And then Judge Benner snaps back, well, if you want to feel like you belong, you'll need to spend more time with your new friends and not in the treehouse with your old ones. And for better or for worse, Judge Benner's conversation boils down to her asking, who are you? Now, this question is such a pertinent question for us in these fleeting times that we live in. These fleeting times where there is so much quiet chaos and chaos that is not so quiet. So much uncertainty. A time when even planning your life 2 months ahead might seem impossible because you just don't know what tomorrow will bring or what even may come the next second. And in those moments, this text invites us to remember who we are. Just as rapidly as these times change with the speed of the twirl of that cartoon character, the Tasmanian Devil, we cannot let these times cause us to lose a sense of who we are. And that is the message that James sends in our text today. Now, traditionally, this text is ascribed as authorship to James, who is the brother of Jesus. And if we believe James wrote this text, then we know that James was excelling in ministry. He was a respected leader in the Jerusalem church. And it was in the Jerusalem church where you find many of the so-called religious and political elites, those who had a great deal of money, power, and influence. And James even was so good that he excelled at mastering the advanced Greek, even though that would not be expected for someone who was from Galilee. James was doing well, but then just like a scene out of Mother Goose's nursery rhymes, we find Humpty Dumpty where things just fall apart. And all the king's men and all the horses and king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Well, James' ministry with the believers and his community could not be put back together again after James did this. James one Sunday decided to stand up and to deliver a message, a teaching about how caring and treating the poor with respect and dignity is part of what it means to be faithful. And immediately that led to an uprising, to where the religious and political and social elites of the day told James there, whoa, slow down there, tiger, slow down. Who do you think you are, James? And they put the brakes on James' leadership with a violent, violent uprising. That even sometime after James would complete the writing of this text, would be executed by, of all people, the high priest Ananias II. So it goes without much saying that James is writing to a people who were going through uncertain times and the world was falling apart. Now the followers of Jesus had decided, well, you know what? If they're going to exercise violence, they're reaction was going to be, you know what? We're going to fight fire with fire. We're going to return the violence given to us from the powers that be. And now James in this letter has to tell his followers, hold up, slow down. Slow down there, folks. We can't respond violence with violence. James says, remember who you are. And not so much in the sense of, if you're an axe murderer, keep being an axe murderer. Or if you are somebody who's just cranky and mean to everyone, keep being mean to everyone. But what James is saying, remember who you are in God. You are a version of God's first fruits. Now here's what first fruits mean. In the ancient world, you know, you grew some apples or figs, and in a symbolic gesture of gratitude to God, you would offer those in thanksgiving because they were your first and your best, and they were clearly a source of blessing from God. And you didn't keep it to yourself. You acknowledged the source of blessing. But James here flips the script, if you will, and says, no, you are God's first fruits, God's best in the world, God's example of love and the representation to people of what God's love looks like in the world. Remember an old saying, long before someone will ever read a scripture, they read our lives to make a decision on whether or not should I join this movement known as Christianity. And because you are God's first fruits of creation, James says you set the standards. So instead of you reacting with violence shown by the religious and political elites of the day, we are to respond, you are to respond as Christ would. Our former First Lady of the United States of America, in a speech at the 2016 Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, sums it up all like this. To take everything that I've said, sums it up like this, and this catchy little saying, when they go low, we go high. And James encourages them to go high, to not be consumed by the anxiety vortex of the day and set themselves apart to be the light in the world. For you are God's first fruits. And in these times that we live in a world that's filled with so much uncertainty, in a world that's filled with so much disappointment, in a world that's filled with so much injustice and so much pain, and so much that we just cannot wrap our heads around, it can be easy to forget who we are. Beloved, today, I've simply come this morning to remind you that you are God's first fruits. You are God's best, even with all of your brokenness, all of your ambiguities, all of your imperfections, your limitations, as well as your strengths, your gifts, your talents, your opportunities. You are what Salvator Mundi by Leonardo da Vinci is to art, what Bugattis are to cars, what Montblancs are to pens, is what you are to God and the world as God's first fruits. And we, beloved, are to be proactive in being the body of Christ and always remembering our call, our mission, and our purpose. And not to be consumed by the anxieties of today, but to live with focus. Remember that we are and are called to be a light in the world and intentionally shine our light in all things and matters. My theological alma mater is that of Drew University. And people spend a lot of money to go to Drew University out in Madison, New Jersey. And a student one time was provided with nearly a full scholarship to attend the institution. And they wondered, well, with all of the scholarship, will I be able to live up to the expectations of a Drew grad who's been given so much? And a representative from the admissions office responded, "We did not accept you and endow you because of what you would become, but we have accepted you and endowed you because we already know as you are made for this." And no matter what, always remember when the circumstances of life cause you to lose your footing, remember who you are. You were made for this. And this is so poetically described and summed up by Saint Francis of Assisi in that great hymn of the church, "Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are instruments of your peace. Where there is injury, we will never judge. Striving, we will speak God's peace. To the millions crying for release, we will be instruments of God's peace. Where there is blindness, we'll pray for sight. Where there is darkness, we'll shine God's light. Where there is sadness, we will bear their grief. To the millions crying for relief, we will be instruments of peace." That is who we are. So, who are you? You are God's first fruits. Enough as you are, made for such a time as this. So may God's light of love shine through you in all things. Let us pray. O Lord, who is the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion that nourishes us with all goodness and brings forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.